Hey guys, this is Lauren, Dean of the Rocket Jump Film School, and this is our second ever podcast for Rocket Jump Film School Office Hours. And today I sit down with Freddie and Matt, and we're going to answer your burning questions about directing. And we talk about working with your crew, working with actors, and how the film school in particular is going to cover how to teach directing. It's going to be really exciting. We have some fun stuff planned. So we're going to get into it. And before we start that, we're going to say a quick thank you to Rode Microphones for supporting the podcast, supporting film school in general. They're great. Check them out, www.rode.com. And let's get going.
Rocket Jump Film School, Scene 1, Apple, Take 1, Mark.
Hey guys, it's Lauren. This is the second podcast ever for Rocket Jump Film School Office Hours. And today we're going to talk about directing, which is the biggest thing that you guys have asked us about, and how Rocket Jump Film School in particular is going to teach that. So I have Freddie and Matt with me today. And
Hello.
Let's
Hi.
Get going.
Freddie Wong coming at you live in your ear holes. Directing, it's funny that you mentioned that. Directing also happens to be probably, and Matt and I have had a lot of discussions about this, one of the toughest things to actually
direct.
Teach.
Direct.
Well, and direct.
Directing is the toughest thing to direct.
But definitely one of the harder things to teach because it's Matt, why don't you get into it? You've had a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one, I think there's an element of like, I don't know, what do we know compared to all the great directors? And you can only teach kind of the style that we do, but it's also, it's kind of like about teaching management, which is boring in a lot of ways. It's a lot of people skills. It's a lot of like overseeing stuff on set, and you know, it's also so particular. And the toughest thing about it is that a lot of the best lessons are hard for us to say in a way that allows us to continue to be good directors, because they involve
people we work with
involves, you know, I don't want to say manipulation, but manipulation. It involves, you know, the right way to handle certain situations on set. And, you know, a lot of the hardest parts about directing is, you know, the stuff you kind of don't want to talk about afterwards is figuring out those tough decisions and those tough calls and, you know, people's hurt feelings and how to respond in the appropriate way. So,
but let's at least move this along, though, let's start from a 50,000 foot view. Like, what is directing, Matt?
Yeah, what is
directing? Should be, you're the vision holder. You should have the movie in your head the best possible way that you imagine it. And it's about communicating all the way through every single department level, down to the actors, down to, you know, even just the person turning on the light switch, that vision. Because the more people understand that vision, the less you have to micromanage every single aspect. If everybody understands what you're going for and they feel like they have the tools able to fulfill that, it's amazing how many things fall into place. Yeah. And when people talk about good crews, what they're really talking about is people who have worked with you enough or other directors enough that they can understand the shorthand and they get your vision quickly.
And I want to point out that intrinsic in what you just said is the key to that is you have something in your head, but you're communicating that with a group of people. And it's not, I think some people have this conception of this director as like, oh yeah, they're the vision hole, the auteur thing. And everyone is there to try and like fulfill their desires and get that out of them. It's like, nah, that's a bad director. A good director is someone who has that vision, is able to express it clearly and in the right way to every single person on that crew in order to make that idea come to fruition.
Well, often, and the other thing is that like, there's no way to know. I mean, maybe some directors do, but like to me, it's like very rarely is like the best thing we came up with like exactly how I imagined it. Mm. It's like having a vision is a little bit more nebulous in terms of just if you express your vision correctly and people understand it. Preferably when you work with somebody that you really want to work with, that's really good at their job. Like, you know, if you're working with Lauren as a DP or you're working with, you know, Josh or Ellery as an actor, like they'll bring something to that vision because they understand what you're going for. But because they're a different person, because they have different tastes and style, like they'll hit what you're going for, but they'll bring their own, you know, unique qualities to it. And that's, to me, that's the most exciting part.
And that's true of every department too. Yeah. It's in terms of art design,
lighting, everything.
Yeah. And that's one of our most asked questions in the forums. Cause we asked,
Yes.
People will be like, what are your top questions about directing? Just to get a feel for what you guys are thinking and what you want to know. And that the main, one of the big questions was, how do I work with a crew? Like, how much control over a crew should I have? How do I build these relationships? What do I have utter power on, and what do I what do I trust other people with?
And I think what's important to note, as one of the things to note here, is that there's a lot of different styles and a lot of different ways that people approach it. And people who you probably you list your top five directors who you love,
they're all
going to disagree with ways to do things. And they, you know, and it goes everything from, you know, some directors are, you know, sort of notorious for being very specific in terms of certain things or all of the things and down to the last detail. You know, it's like Kubrick is somebody who has sort of that reputation. And other directors are more, you know, a little looser in that regard. And they're saying, okay, I trust my actors to help me define the character.
Yeah. I mean, even our mindset when we say something like, you know, somebody bring their own quality to it. There are some directors who will just straight up they'll just be like, no, I hire a DP to shoot. I know exactly what I want. I want that person to do that. Or I hire a concept artist to express that. If we already have kind of a looser,
we're definitely on the looser. We're on the looser
organically made.
We're on the looser end of the scale. I mean, absolutely.
I think that's why we work well together, is that we both like to see even the edit. We're not like precious about anything in the edit. We'll cut out entire scenes that we spent, you know, a whole day and tons of money on set, because we like to organically find the movie. You know, we're really just looking for the best thing possible. So if somebody else brings us that idea, sure.
And I guess the other thing is too, is that film is a weird thing, and that in the end, the end result kind of is just what people see, and all that kind of matters. So some people get to that end result using a variety of weird different methods. So we can only, so to caveat everything, only what we know. We only can say what we know. And in general, to sort of answer the question that you asked 20 minutes ago, at the end of the day, personally, I found that like micromanaging the crew, especially when you're just starting out, especially when you're kind of developing that voice, is not a good strategy for a number of reasons. Probably, you know, a lot of them having to do with just sort of the realities of whatever situation you happen to be when you're filming. But, you know, odds are when you're starting out, you're not paying everybody boatloads of money to execute your vision. It's you. It's a group of friends that are getting together. It's a group of compatriots, like-minded individuals. You guys are all getting together to do something together. And in that sort of scenario, it's a lot harder to be kind of a dictator than it is to be open to everyone's ideas. And I think that's the right mind. I think honestly, the right mindset, especially when you're starting out, is to be able to take in as much as you can from what everyone else brings to the table.
Yeah, my experience is that it's just the less you actually have to work with the crew on set usually means the better job you've done as a director. Like, to highlight that, I'll tell you, I remember when I first came to film school, somebody, you know, some kid who got onto some set who was like talking about like, oh, you know, Spielberg's not that good of a director, and he told this story to everybody. He's like, yeah, you know, I was on Catch Me If You Can, and you know, I was on set for like 4 hours. Spielberg wasn't even there. Everybody else was doing everything, not Spielberg. And then when everything was set up and ready to go, he came down, talked to Tom Hanks, and they shot it and they left. And I was like, oh man, that's it? Man, maybe he doesn't direct very much. Now I'm like, he's the best director.
He's the best director alive.
Production exactly. Probably everybody went. Knows what they're doing, so he can do what he needs to do, which might just be freaking relax if that's what he needs to do at that moment.
But actually, I believe technically in that scenario, it was editing Munich.
Yeah, it's probably editing Munich or pre-vising War of the Worlds. But I remember when, you know, we had Ashley Birch direct, which she had never directed before. And there's one part where after like her first day, she had she just learned so quickly. There's one part she just looked at me. She's like, Matt, I don't know. I've been on sets, like directors are running around. There's nothing I really need to do right now. I was like, if a director's running around, they probably suck. I was like,
I run around like crazy, though.
Well, that's because you're doing other stuff. but it's like, I'm like, actually, that means you've done a good job. Like, every time I've told John something, and then like I feel like everything's in control, that usually means I have like 10 minutes while they're lighting, and if nobody else has to ask me questions, that's great. That means like in that scene, in that moment, we've done a good job. Everybody knows what they're doing. I can look at the sides. I can use that to, you know, get ready for the next scene. There's a million things you could be doing that don't involve yelling at people and explaining what to do.
But in general, on set, the two closest relationships you form are the relationship you form with your actors and the relationship that you form with your director of photography. Because
so much of it can happen beforehand. You know, your art department, you know, should know what is in that scene, what props they need. You know, the producer should know what's going on. So in a perfect world, you know, you essentially, it's all just about making sure every single person on set knows what they're doing. So, you know, the first thing you do is, you know, we'll take Lauren and be like, here's the next scene. We discussed it before. We essentially know what the shots are, but let's stage it with the actor so the actors know what they're doing in the scene. And then Lauren knows how to light it. Fantastic.
And there's marching orders.
I can take 10 minutes to go talk to the actor because maybe it's a really sensitive scene. So now it's all quiet on the Western Front and I can sit down and talk to the actor for 10 minutes without worrying about art and lighting and everybody else.
And we've already talked about mood and color and tone and what you want to say in the scene in pre-production or or sitting over the script or that kind of stuff. And I've already talked to my gaffer about what I want, and I have time to work with him.
Exactly.
And you touch upon, I think, something that's very important, which is a lot of the things that you think of when you think in your head directing a movie, a lot of that work happens before you ever roll the camera, bring even the camera on set. It's all stuff happening beforehand. It's looking at the script, it's sitting down with whoever's helping you out in terms of camera and saying, okay, here's what we want to do and this is the scene and I think it's I think the coverage, the way it's shot should be looking kind of like this and, oh, I think this is really cool. And there's a conversation there and maybe there's a cool angle here. Okay, let's make sure we get that. And you've built out your plans for it, but you're doing a lot of pre-planning before you actually get on set. And that's the sort of ideal situation so that on the set you're not sitting there and you're like, okay, let's just figure this out. And you have your friends who are maybe actors sitting there and they're like, okay, what are we doing? And let's do this. And then, maybe that's not a good idea. You want to iron out all of those kinks before you have cameras on and cameras rolling.
Yeah. And when you're ironed and when you have a lot of stuff, what I like and what I think, you know, we try to do on our sets at least is that if everybody knows what they're doing and, you know, there's days when we aren't prepared for a scene very well. And, you know, it's kind of a struggle to get through. It just means you have to do a lot more micromanagement. Everybody has to kind of be on the same page and move slower. And, you know, you'll get what you want maybe, but it's harder as opposed to, like, for me, like the best times and the best work we've gotten is everybody's so much on the same page and everybody's confident in what's happening. It gives you the freedom to improvise on set in a fun way. Like, all of a sudden, you can, like, if you're in the middle of a scene, everybody knows what they're doing, and the day's going well, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, we should totally have, like, a funny poster there. Like literally the law of, like, doing this, and the poster was almost, like, a last second. And nobody's going to be like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. Everybody gets in the rhythm and the fun of riffing and expanding on ideas. And, you know, the DP can be like, oh, hey, you know, oh, you know, it'd be really great if we did this camera move, you know, to enter the scene. I know we didn't talk about it before, but everything's going smoothly, and everybody feels confident.
It's an idea that you're having at that moment.
Exactly, and those ideas are, like, 90% of the time, if you have an idea on set, in that sort of environment, it's like that's always going to make the cut because it means that it came out of like the performances that were happening at the time of actually seeing the location.
It's organic from every input that you're getting from that moment.
And there's a fine line between feeling like it's something that evolved organically there and feeling like you didn't know what you were wanting and now you're just coming up with stuff on the fly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's literally just if the crew is confident and everybody and it's going smoothly, you can come up with stuff and it's just part of it. Even if it was that same thing, if the day was going rough and everybody already feels like they weren't sure of what's going on, then you just look like a guy who doesn't know what's happening.
Well, you touch upon something that I think is really interesting, which is throughout the any given day that you're shooting something, one of the things that you're keeping an eye on is that overall crew mentality, overall feel in terms of everyone on that set is something that you're conscious of because that mood and that thought process affects what's going to end up in your movie in the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if it's the kind of thing where, for example, you know, and I've definitely seen this even, you know, back when I was PAing and doing stuff and, you know, back in school where if the director comes across and the feeling is they have no idea what they're doing and there's no confidence there, that's a trickle down effect. That's now your actors are like, well, if this person doesn't know exactly how they're shooting it, well, I don't know how much to put in as an actor. Do I just, are they even going to use this camera angle? And they might start thinking, well, I wouldn't use that camera angle, so I'm not going to go. You start to induce doubt by not having control over the direction of the day and the direction of the scenes and the direction of what you're trying to put to camera.
It's amazing. Yeah, how that can snowball. Like when you say it, because I remember times where like when you talk about management styles, like I've remember times where I've like specifically been like, shoot, I screwed that up, because like I might be, you know, I know how much time we have left in the day, and I know I really want this shot, but I also know that in my head, you know, it doesn't need to look as nice as like John wants it to look. I know it needs to be set up quickly. So then, like, I remember one time on VGHS, I said, like, John, it's like just set up there. It's just a safety shot. I don't even think we need it. And I looked, and I know that Josh just heard me say that. And I was like, crap. Now the actor like literally just heard me say we probably won't even use that shot. And I really wanted that shot specifically, mm-hmm. but it was a shot not on the schedule. It was a last minute thing. It was something I felt instinctually we needed editorially, but like it wasn't enough time.
Which bit was that?
It was something during the, I'll have to remember. What I really remember is Josh's face looking at me. As you remember that look, no. I'd be like, and then like, and it was just hard. It was like too much. I like he did fine, but like I know that.
But now he's going into that scene I don't know.
Yeah, it's the difference between an actor. You know, it's why you always tell an actor if it's gonna be a close up.
Yeah.
You know, because they'll just naturally put more into it. You know, unless you want to purposely manipulate them into thinking it's not a close up because you're trying to get something else. But you should always know why. Like at the end of the day, the general rule is like you should tell an actor if it's a close up.
Yeah.
Because you'll be shocked at how quickly they suddenly turn on differently with it being a close up. But I just remember that look, and I've seen that before. Like other times where you. Somebody overhears you. But I think what you're getting at is like, especially me, I'm not somebody who likes to be center of attention. So it's a long kind of thing to figure out where it's
because
everybody's
you,
looking.
You are the center of attention.
And you're also so busy, you don't see anything. Like the entire set is like a fog of war to you.
Yeah.
Like you see so little as a director. People hide so much from you purposefully because you need to be focused on what you're doing. That sometimes you forget that. And that was some of the, one of the things, you know, is teaching. Like there was one time with Clint, just got, you could tell he was just getting like a little stressed. And it was just one of those things where it's like the moment... It's like, Clint, the moment you feel stressed, the whole crew feels stressed because everybody's watching you. Like, they know. And we've had that before. Like, anytime. That's why we try. If we have disagreements, we'll take it offset.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And, like, it's the kind of thing where people feed off of – it becomes – the crew becomes an organism almost that feeds off of what you're putting out. And so it almost is one of those things that I found that, like – even if you're not 100% sure of what you're doing,
you act
like you have to know what you're doing because the repercussions of appearing not quite steady on your feet have very negative repercussions throughout the rest of the thing. Whereas if everyone's like, well, they know what they're doing, it might not be the right decision, and you might even confidently correct yourself, but confidently correcting yourself keeps the ball rolling. So
always make it feel like
transparent and decisive. Even if you're correcting something, I'd rather feel like the director said, oh no, actually we really need to get it this way and this is like
people don't hate mistakes, they hate when people are being stupid.
Yeah,
like because there was plenty of times where we're in the middle of a shot and then like I mean there's too many examples to recall specifically, but I mean I can hear Freddie's voice make sorry everybody, because there are times where like we'll just be in the middle of a sequence like, oh, we need to go back to do that shot again, or no, what, shoot, we didn't get that shot, or oh, for VFX we need to do this, and it's like you just have to say it. It's like rather than be like, oh hey guys, sorry, it's like, oh sorry everybody, sorry, we gotta do another shot, our bad, just trust us, we need this for the edit though. Like, just say it like that, and everybody's fine. They're not like,
people,
oh, these guys are
people
idiots.
People know that that's their job, and then
in
it's
our
ready
case,
to go
they
again,
might.
And they know where what they have to do, and they'll do it. But if you're like,
nothing
be like,
kills.
Yeah.
Right. Do I do
nothing
what?
Kills like wishy-washy.
And
kills.
You have the right outlets, you know, like, you know. I mean, that's why the relationship with the director and DP is so important, is that you might, when everybody's asking something, you might be like, you know, you might talk to your AD, be like, no, just bring the actors on set. I need them here right now. We're totally fine. Because you're thinking in your head how much time you have. You're like, no, I know exactly how I want to shoot this. Everybody feels confident. Producer goes, makeup's going, everybody's going. And then you turn to, you know, Lauren and Jordan, be like, oh, I don't think our shot list works. What should we do?
Yeah.
And then you guys can figure it out.
Yeah.
But it's just knowing, again, it's just like, it's nuance. It's just knowing, Mike Simons always describes it as just having ball feel. It's just knowing who to tell when there's a problem. You know, how to express it and keeping, you know, your general attitude, though, just confident and sure of what you're doing. And that doesn't mean not admitting mistakes. It just means being confident that, of course, mistakes will happen. That's part of being a film set. Film sets are chaotic. When there's a mistake, you just fix it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't dwell on it or get pissed or get upset. You just say, oh, that was a problem.
Don't
how
blame
do we fix
people.
It?
Don't
blame people.
Things,
there's no help. Like, literally, why blame a person on it?
Yeah.
Especially on a film set, such a high
stress. Yeah, it's like, it's one thing if you're in an ER doing open heart surgery and someone gets the blood type wrong and now this person's about to die. And it's like, oh, I forgot to thing the thing. It's like, all right, that's fine. You know, the other day we're making the movie. We're not.
Or even like, not to get too much, you know, because obviously, you know, it's a business and stuff happens on set. It's like, even if there is a serious problem, and somebody needs to be blamed, or there needs to be repercussions for it, it's usually not healthy to do it on set when other stuff needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, shut down that problem, and then, you know,
deal with it later.
Deal with it either at lunch if it's something that needs to happen now because that person shouldn't be on set or something, or just talk to it afterwards and make sure it doesn't happen again.
I mean, granted, there are times when you need to
safety
pull the brakes, but it's an emergency brake on a train, and the set is a train. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't pull the emergency brake unless you have to pull the emergency brake. It's very important to keep.
And that's
momentum.
Why you find a good AD, because hopefully an AD is the person who's doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And I've noticed when things are going wrong and something's not gelling, it's usually when you're on set to just be like, here's what we need to do. This is what went wrong. Don't point fingers.
Yeah.
You know, and figure out it in your department separately, like, and just kind of keep it above the line.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's really about, and I think, and you touch on it right there, which is it's not about the person. It's about the problem in front of you. It's about mm-hmm. something has happened you need to fix, or there's something that needs to happen. It's not about the people. It's about the work itself. And once you remove the people from it, because it's very easy to become defensive, right? It's very easy to say, this isn't in place. And it's very easy as someone who maybe was in charge of that to be like, yeah, but you didn't tell me. And now all of a sudden we're fighting over that. And what's more important is like, well, this is in place. Well, what do you think? Do you think there's another way we can do this? What do we have within hand? What can we get done in 10 minutes? Maybe we need to shoot this part a little bit later so that you can do something like that. Mm-hmm. Fix the problem. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, that's such a useful. There are so many times it's like, you know, especially on like a lower budget thing like VGHS, which I know sounds like high budget over here, but it's like incredibly low budget for what we're trying to do. There's so many times that like, I think it would happen. It's not to anybody's fault. It happened the most with art because art has the hardest job in that because
absolutely
art is like VFX, but on the day at that moment.
Yep.
And there's no way to just like, oh, we just need an extra day for that. So there's so many times where it's just like we show up and it's just like, that's wrong. And there's literally like, I
that's
the time we ever got in a fight.
And to be fair, that is on us because
we didn't communicate correctly.
We didn't put the time in pre-production properly.
They probably sent us an email showing us that prop and we approved it because we didn't really think about it too much. But it's like, the point is that there's never, that discussion never even happens. It's never like, oh, well, didn't you get the email? It's just like, okay, literally it'll just be like, that prop's wrong. We can't use that.
What are the solutions?
What are the solutions? And then it just becomes a brainstorm of everybody on the same page, just trying to fix something. If you make it like, whoa, art department, you totally screwed up. That sucks. Hey, go away. Everybody else, how do we fix art department's problem? That's useless because art department's going to be the best person to fix it. They have the equipment. They have the craft services. They have creative people there. It's always, and they've always been able to deliver like that. Yeah, there's so many props on VGHS where it's like something happens. It's like, oh, that's too small. Sorry, we didn't communicate that correctly. How do we fix it? And then we just fix it.
Yeah, we fix it. And it's, you know, we scoot the day around a little bit. And that's the big part of, you know, I saw on the sheet here that you prepared so well for us here, Lauren. People ask about like, how do you come across not as a jerk? That's how you come across not as a jerk. Don't make it about people. Make it about the problem.
Yeah. Just don't be a jerk, too.
Yeah.
And also, don't be a jerk.
If you have to be a jerk to get something done, it's like, stop for a moment. You failed. Like, because my, you know, I could be wrong. My experience is I've never had to be a jerk in order for somebody to do something. Mm-hmm. If you're a jerk, it's because you've messed up somehow. You didn't communicate correctly, or you've already lost the discussion. You've already lost that person because you came at it antagonistically. Like, if you're acting like a jerk, it's because you don't know how to handle your people.
That brings us to like the number one question. Mm-hmm. When I went through all of the questions on the forum, it's like, how do I motivate people? How do I get people to want to work with me? How do I build a cast? How do I build a crew? Like, how do I, you know, get people on board?
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say, so there's sort of two answers to that. I think part of that is, Matt was joking right before we started, that involves a little bit of looking inward at yourself. And this is going to sound weird, and this is going to sound weird in the conversation about directing movies, but in the end of the day, it's a little bit like, how do I make friends when I go to a new school, right? There's a certain level of like, you need to get people, like on a high level, people need to trust in you. People need to believe in what you want and what you're doing. How do you get that? Well, you form a relationship, or you have confidence behind it, or you have career, or whatever it is. But there needs to be a certain amount of, especially, so incidentally, there's sort of two answers to this when you're an adult, which is you don't have to, you can just pay people and they'll do it because it's their job. But I assume for, you know, the people listening here, you're not necessarily in the case where you're just thrown around.
Well, money's not usually a good motivation.
And money's
high artistic.
That's true. Although, not to say that that's never, that high artistic stuff has not been accomplished with the lubricant of money. But the point is, you know, with this is a lot of times it's like your friends are, you know, taking time out of their day. They're helping you for free. Why would you do anything unless you kind of believed in it or thought that it was something cool or whatever that is? So that's a very kind of vague answer to it. So practical things that I've, you know, just talking about the history of doing movie stuff. Well, it's like, have food for people, you know, don't take it so seriously and make it like a really stressful environment. You know, we've done like pizza parties and have like coolers and sodas and hey, it's not about work and doing this stuff. It's, hey, let's have a good time. That was sort of how we got into filmmaking, you know, sort of to begin with our friends. It was, hey, let's have a good time. Let's just have fun with this. And that's what ended up, I think, for me personally, working out the best, especially when I was like in high school and stuff like that, doing movies when I, you know, it was like, hey, come on over, we'll do it, we'll shoot this weekend. And, you know, we never had 12-hour shoot days like we do now. It was just, hey, let's come over a few hours, go to a friend's house and like shoot a little fun thing. And, you know, hey, we'll all get food afterwards. And it's become something like that rather than something arduous.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something. Yeah, there's like an element where you have to be in the right spot in the first place to be directing something. I think there's two things that humans can sniff out. So like you can't fake confidence and you can't fake sincerity. Like people just like instantly know if you're not confident and they instantly know if you're being insincere. And to me, those are like the two things I think we continuously have that kind of like the set works because confidence doesn't mean that you always know it's right. It just means that you're confident that you can achieve it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So that's like, again, it doesn't mean being confident is like never admitting you have a mistake. It's just knowing when there's a mistake that you can just fix it. So how do you fix it?
As weird as it is, it's kind of believing in yourself.
Yeah. You know? And if you're sincere, then people know that you care. And people, I mean, anybody who's working on a film set, there are dozens of other jobs they could do that are better paying with even like the tool sets they have. You know, almost anybody building a set could go in construction, like instantly be making like a higher minimum wage. Like there's a number of the things that you could be doing on a film set that are more useful. But
both the society as large and
so they're there because they love doing it and they want to make it something good. And if you're sincere, then that's something that people want to get behind. And there's just a million of tiny management things that you can do. Like I'm terrible at names. But man, it matters so much if you know every single person's name. Like if you can think like the just like somebody who's turning on the light, like not just the gaffer, but you know the best boy, just like an electrician. You know the caterer's name. And it's weird because neither of us, I think, like to be like leaders. Like, and it's still weird for me to even say that. But you kind of can't underestimate the importance that you have on the set because people do look up to you.
Yeah.
And just taking time out for a moment to like. If I make a mistake and I need Art to do something, like just make sure you say thank you when they bring it back and like
please
say their
thank
name.
You. Yeah. It's like one of the first things my producing teacher taught me. She was like, when you're on set, just say please and thank you.
All the time. Like all the time. And like if you're doing something that you know, like there's a time where like we had a like for the bar set, we had to move the bar again, even though we said we weren't gonna move the bar again. And like of course they're going to do it. It's their job. Like, but that's not the point. The point is that it's a pain in the ass for them to do it. And you can't even kind of overestimate like how much it means to be like, hey, really sorry, we have to move the bar again. I know I said I wouldn't. I don't have to do that. I could just be like, yo, I'm paying you. Move the bar again.
Yeah, exactly.
I said that, but that sucks. Like, say you're sorry and even help them if you can. Like, doing little things like that, like, just keep everybody... Again, just don't be a dick. Like, just be polite. Be a human being. Like, I don't know.
Tell them
what you should do in your real life, too.
They do a good job.
Like, these are all
like,
good
hey,
life.
Yeah, say you
really
do a good
like
job.
That. Like, oh, that light looks really good. Like, oh, my God, that was so fast. Like, how did you make that happen?
And if it's not good and you're going to fix it another way, just say it's good anyways. That's another thing. Like, that's what I mean. It's like, you can't say a specific example. There's been times that something's shown up on set and... I know they're not going to fix it. There's no way to fix it in time. Yeah. I know we're going to fix it in post-production. We're going to VFX over it.
Yeah,
I don't
Matt,
say
Matt
like,
usually gives me a look. I nod at him, and then life continues.
Yeah, we don't say, like, this sucks. We're not going to use it. We just say, thank you so – oh, fantastic. This looks great. Thanks a lot. And we put it up there because it's not going to change anything we're going to do, and it makes everybody feel better. Like, just don't be a negative person, I find, in general.
Yeah.
So,
if you're tuning in just now, life advice here with Matt and Lauren talking a little bit about what it means to be a good human.
So there's – obviously so much more we can talk about and we haven't really started, and we will because the directing track on the website has only maybe two videos on it right now.
It's not very much. I know,
but
people are asking,
let's talk a little bit about how we're covering and how we're teaching directing, because it is so nebulous, it's so personal, and it's so touchy-feely. Like one thing I'm really excited about is interviewing other directors.
We could learn from them.
We just were really excited to talk to other directors, because how they do stuff is totally different than how we do stuff. But then we're also talking about like more kind of live streaming or watching you guys on set and then going back and then also covering all of pre-production.
Yeah, I think a lot of pre-production is something that you can definitely go down and sit down and make a video about really easily. Like how do you
shot list? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that. You know, what's an approach to shot listing? And you know, it's funny because we swear by shot listing. we throw that thing away so quickly when we're on set, but we can explain like why, because it's kind of like the idea, like you may never look at your notes again, but writing them down in class like helps you learn them.
It helps you figure out what you want.
Exactly. Helps you figure
and
out
what
you
want.
And
it's one of those things too, where like we haven't in this entire discussion mentioned the one actual job the director has, which is to talk to the actors.
Yeah.
And we haven't even bothered, we haven't even covered that yet. And I think one of the things that we were talking about was to, as weird as it is for the directing track, to interview actors
and ask them about
their
what they
process.
Like.
And what do actors, because again, same thing as there's as many varied methods of directing, so too are there such a myriad ways to approach acting, and everyone has a different way of doing it, and therefore you must adjust your approach to the actor on that sense too. So it's like, hey, let's talk to actors and say what works, what doesn't work, and it's gonna be different for everybody, but I think it's helpful if they're the people you're gonna be interacting with, it's gonna be helpful for you to hear how do they think about this process.
Well, I think it's useful for like quick tips, like they're easy to say in acting, like, you know, you should tell an actor when you're gonna do a close-up, like, you know, make sure the actor understands the staging of the scene, things like that. But like, to really get into the nitty-gritty of acting, it's like, it's better, like the way I learn is like I talk to the actors. Like that's what I do. I talk to Ellery. I talk to Johanna. I like ask them beforehand.
You talk to the actor in front of you.
I talk to the actor in front of you. But you know, I even try to learn like were they trained traditionally? Like what sort of school of thought do they come from? Like, because there's different ways to talk to actors, and hearing us talk about it, one isn't gonna be as good as reading acting books or hearing it from actors, because that's where it really is. And two, it's also a lot of the solutions are very personalized, because every actor is different. Mm-hmm. And us saying like, oh, well, you talk to Josh this way, one, may be inappropriate, and two, may not be as informative as actually just hearing Josh explain what works for him. Because, heck, my directing might be terrible for Josh.
And I would even go so far as, it even depends on your relationship with that person. So Matt and I both have directed Jimmy. Matt's approach to talking to Jimmy is completely different than my approach to talking to Jimmy.
Frey talks to Jimmy like an older brother, and I talk to Jimmy like a therapist who's helping him get over his older brother problems. Like, there's just a different, like, how well you know an actor completely changes.
It's the same actor.
Because we don't have any money ever, we usually end up, a lot of our actors, we end up meeting on set the first time. We don't get a rehearsal with them and stuff. And that's a totally different, you kind of have to, you can't come in with, like, demands. You kind of have to first see, like, what sort of actor are they? How comfortable are they on set? Like, what are they like? And kind of what are they going to bring to it organically? When somebody acts, it's like, it's a very personal thing for a lot of people. Some people don't care, but it's very personal. And the first, and when you get a new actor, you don't want to say, again, that sucked, because what they did was just expose themselves to everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's also learning about how to shift people into your expectations.
In a weird way, and this is, I apologize in advance for this analogy, but it feels a little bit like when someone's like, how do I talk to actors? It's like literally the same question as someone being like, how do I talk to girls? It's like, bro, it depends. Like, you're gonna have just, you gotta talk to them.
It's true. It's
gonna be different.
It's like speed dating, because like, especially when you're talking about like dramatic stuff, it's like you have to really quickly be able to just be vulnerable and talk to an actor. And then, you know, if it's comedy, then it becomes more technical, but it's the same sort of thing. It's still talking about the person getting up there and exposing themselves emotionally to, whether it's for a joke or for somebody crying, it's the same thing. And it's like talking to a human being. I don't know.
And I think we're also going to extend that kind of way of thinking with other departments as well. It's like what I would love to do in the directing track is talk to different department heads and be like, what works best for you who was your favorite director and to work with, and why was it that way? And what irks you as like a production designer when a director does this, and kind of get like a wide perspective.
And they don't say Matter Freddy. We'll just edit it out.
Yeah, we'll just cut that out.
I guess that's probably a good thing to end on, is that we always joke that the best way to teach the directing track would literally just be us pointing at all the other tracks. Like, ultimately, that's what you should be doing. Obviously, there'll be a lot of stuff on this directing track, but like, your job as a director is to know everybody else's job, so you both appreciate and respect it, so you understand it, so you can talk to them in their language. And if you're holding the vision of the movie, then you need to know how movies are made, and you need to know everything. And that's just what you need to do.
I think that's a good place to stop. So,
nice.
Thanks, guys.
Conclusion.
Summed up.
I would want to talk about this for another like 3 hours, but
we could. And we could. Maybe not bad idea.
No, let's just do it. We'll keep going.
I think we'll.
Two and a half hours later.
I gotta get out of here.
And I will say, by the way, right before we finish things up, one of the things that we did experiment on the Hulu show that we're going to be continuing to do, and we did a little bit just now on the short we just did on YouTube, is Periscope. Trying to wrap our heads around Periscope, and we realized one of the most interesting parts of Periscope is that you can get the perspective on set as it is real time, And there is honestly nothing, like if they say nothing's better than like actual experience, that's like the closest thing you can get. Like you look at our behind the scenes, at the end of the day, we're editing the behind the scenes and we're putting together, you know, a narrative for you so that you can follow along with it. There's nothing better than being there. The second best thing might just be getting a viewport into it at that moment. So we're going to be doing a lot of live streams, especially on set, especially when we do cool stuff. So follow RJ Film School on Twitter. Install Periscope so you'll be notified when that stuff goes up. And I think that's a very useful resource.
Yeah.
And that will become a very useful resource for what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So thanks, guys. We're going to keep talking about this. So if your pressing questions didn't get answered, don't worry about it. There's a film school for that. It's called Rocket Jump Film School.
Awesome.
All right, that's it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.